Well, good morning.
Good
to see you again this morning. Appreciate you being with us in our Sunday school hour. Thank the Lord for blessing us through another week, bringing us back for an opportunity again to fellowship together and cry. So, you look at your bulletins and keep up with those things that are going on for the week. And Brother Ben is not here with us today, so we will begin our study this morning in just a moment, but I ask you to bow with him in a word of prayer, and then we will begin to take up again and look at the nation of Israel and how the Holy Spirit worked in Old Testament times. Lord, again today, as we do each and every day, we come, Lord, asking that your presence might be felt this day, that the precious Holy Spirit might boil up in us and we might feel your presence. Maybe, Lord, as we've never felt it before. But, Lord, we do know today that if you receive any glory or any praise or any honor, it will be because of the leadership of that Holy Spirit that draws us to do your work, that gives us the knowledge of your precious word, that we might know it and understand it. And we do not those things that brings glory and honor to you of ourselves as an individual, but we do it through the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And there it will bring honor to you. So, Lord, today we do ask that the Spirit might be present, that it might walk us through your precious word, that it might remind us of where we were and where we are today, what you've done for us since you saved us by your marvelous grace. You know, Lord, we'd ask now that you'd bless this time together. And again, may you be exalted and uplifted. Lord, we have those who have many needs and many needs in different ways. But we know that you're able to meet every one of those needs. You know every one of those needs. And Lord, we'd ask that you would work the work with those who have those needs according to your will. Mold us to your will, that we might walk in the path that you'd have us to walk in service to you. Bless this time together, and not only here in the sanctuary, but all the classes as we open your precious word. Bless now as only you can, and we come to you with thankful hearts and thank you most of all for the sacrifice and the saving grace of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Excuse me. Now we begin again to look at the nation of Israel. And I'll ask you if you will, we're going to go to the 14th chapter of the book of Exodus. And I know we're spending a lot of time on this. We're going slow. But there's so many things and so much in God's word, and you begin to study and see things you've not seen before. But anyway, we want to begin in the 14th chapter, and let me remind you that we're to the point now that the nation of Israel have now come out of bondage, and the Lord has led them to go over and camp near the Red Sea in the wilderness there. Now, might I remind you that the last time that Moses went to Pharaoh with the Passover, the death angel came. He told Pharaoh told Moses, said, I don't want to see your face again. If I see your face again, you're going to die. Moses said, that's well. You won't see my face anymore. But let's look at how hard Pharaoh's heart is. You say, well, he was a stubborn man. But we got to remember that the Lord's working this to get his work accomplished. And he says he hardened Pharaoh's heart. And he hardened Pharaoh's heart. And here's one of those situations now, the nation of Israel. And we talked about now the thing that led the nation of Israel during their wilderness journey on the way to Canaan's land was cloud by day and pillar of fire by night. And that's their Holy Spirit, so to speak. Now, here they are, facing the Red Sea, and all of a sudden, something else they're going to have to face. So if you will look at the 14th chapter and look at the third verse, it says, he's told Moses to go on, to lead the nation of Israel on. And he says, for Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Now, God Pharaoh's, how many times have we seen in this that God hardened Pharaoh's heart? And every time that we look, when one of the plagues was coming and it came on and he still wouldn't let them go, but said, call the Lord, harden Pharaoh's heart. Why did he harden Pharaoh's heart? Well, what have we just read? Pharaoh's hard-headed. He's not by himself. Because if most of us look in the mirror, we see somebody else that's hard-headed in some respect, every one of us. And I want you to look at this verse again that I've just read, in verse number 4. He said, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be what? Honored upon Pharaoh and upon all the host, that the Egyptians may know that what? That I am the Lord. And they did so. So the Lord's going to bring it to a point that they're going to know who he is. One of these days, at the white throne judgment, all the unsaved are going to know who he is, without question. It says, every knee shall bow, and they're going to bow. You and I hope you are saved today. You and I have bowed to him, begging for mercy and grace. But the world's going to bow to him, acknowledging who he is. In verse number 5, as it said, it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants were turned again against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? You know, you would think everything that Egypt had been through all this time with all the plagues and everything that's taken place, they would say, y'all just get farther away from us. Just get farther away from us. So it's not only Pharaoh, but it's the whole nation, so to speak. So he made ready. Let me read verse 5 again. And it was told the king of Egypt that fled from, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants were turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? Notice, from serving us. And he made ready his chariots and took his people with him. And he took 300 chosen. What? Chariots. And all the chariots, and all the chariots of Egypt, and the captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptian pursued after them all the horses and the chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamped by the sea. And when Pharaoh drew near the children of Israel, lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were so afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because. I want you to pay attention. If you want to see how our human nature is and how it works, it don't take us long to forget what the Lord has just done. All we got to do is have another little tribulation come up in front of us, and all of a sudden, we'll forget what He has brought us through and what He has done for us to bring us this far. And he said unto Moses, because there was no graze in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, do what? Let us alone. Let us alone. I wonder how many people in the world today that the Holy Spirit has worked in their heart and convicted them of their sin and showed them their need for a Savior, and they've said, let me alone. Just let me alone. We're going to look at something a little bit in reference to these things that I'm calling your attention to now, that we may serve the Egyptians. Who's got them in bondage? Or who had them in bondage? Let me rephrase that. Who had them in bondage? The Egyptians had them in bondage. Well, before you were rescued from Egypt, who had you in bondage, or what had you in bondage? See, when we look at Egypt, it's like our sins that have us in captivity before we come to know Christ. And we are servants to that sin and that natural man that's in us. And here the nation of Israel, after all the miracles and everything they've seen, and here they see a little hardship in front of them. You say, well, ain't a little hardship in front of them. Well, I think if I'm standing there looking at a pure cloud that God's in and an angel moving it around, I think that I'd be in pretty good hands. But still, they say, just leave us alone. How many people today are saying, just leave me alone and let me stay in my sin? I don't want to hear any of that thing about that God you serve. It says, just leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. And notice it says, serve the Egyptians. And we are servants of sin. For it hath been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Well, I'd rather die in the world than to die in my sin. get me out of where my sin's at and just put me out in the wilderness, that's all right. We're in a wilderness world today. But the wonderful thing is that I'm still not in my sin. My sin's been forgiven. I'm not serving sin today. Verse number 13, Moses said unto the people. Now, I want you to notice a few things in this particular verse. There's three or four things I want to call your attention to in this verse. Number one, what's the first thing that Moses says unto the people? He says, fear not. And what's the next thing he says? Stand still. A lot of times we try everything that we can think of to get us out of a situation when all we need to do is just stand still and listen to the Lord and let Him do His work. So it says, stand still. And then he makes another statement, statement number three. And what does that statement say? And see the what? The salvation of the Lord. You're going to see the work of the Lord. Fear not, stand still, let the Lord do His work, and the work that you're going to see is the salvation of the Lord. Now, when we look at the word salvation, I think of salvation in steps, so to speak. When you and I accepted Jesus Christ as personal Savior, we were saved. The moment that we trusted in Him, we were saved by His marvelous grace. And at that moment, your salvation begun. That moment, your salvation begun. But your salvation and my salvation is a journey. And when is it going to be complete? See, my salvation will not be complete until I stand in the presence of God. And Jesus Christ has delivered me to the Father. And then it's complete. So our salvation is a growing process. Do you know more about God's Word than when you were saved? I sure hope you do. Are you walking closer to Him today than you were when you were saved? I sure hope you are. So you see, it's a growing process. And here, what is God saying? He's saying, Moses is saying to the nation of Israel, listen, just stand still and think for just a moment. And don't be frightened and don't be feared. God's still in control. Remember, He has just taken you out of Egypt. He's taken you out of your captivity. And you and I need to stop, stand still, and think back when Jesus Christ took us out of our captivity of sin and set us on the road to Canaan's land, on the road to heaven. Where are they headed? They're now headed to Canaan's land. It's a distance. There's a lot of struggle going to take place between now and Canaan land, but they're headed to Canaan land. And they're headed to a promise of God that will be fulfilled. Well, where are you and I headed? We're headed to a promise of God. We're headed to our eternal home in heaven, and it's going to be fulfilled. So just stand still and know. So it said, what's the salvation of who? He said, that ain't my salvation. He says, it's the salvation of the Lord, which He will show unto you what? Today. It's fixing to happen. Another step. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more. For what? Forever. You won't see the Egyptians when? No more forever. What did Christ do with your sins when he saved you? He saved you from every sin that you have committed, that you might commit today or you will commit tomorrow. All your sins are under the blood of Christ. And in his sight, they will be remembered no more forever. No more forever. He said, the Lord shall do what? He shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. The Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak to the children of Israel, that they go forward. But you do something before they go forward. He says, lift up thine rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And God speaking says, and I will hold and I will harden the heart, and I behold, I will harden the heart of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts and upon his chariot and upon his horsemen, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor unto Pharaoh and upon his chariot and upon his horsemen. So all this is to show one of these days, the devil's going to have to bow his knee too. And he says, I'm going to get honor from who? I'm going to get honor from Pharaoh and all the rest. Who's Pharaoh? He's the head honcho. Well, who's the head honcho of sin? Satan is. But what's Satan going to do one of these days too? One of these days he's going to bow his knee before Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and acknowledge who he is. Now, I want you to notice in verse number 19. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before their faces and stood behind them. Now, it don't say just a pillar of cloud, does it? The pillar of cloud went. But what went prior to? It said the angel of the Lord. And I believe we have we have many times in God's Word, and we'll see a few of those. That might be a good topic of study. That I believe with all my heart that we're seeing is Jesus Christ. And here he says, the angel of the Lord went. He got between Pharaoh and the Egyptians. Aren't you glad that Christ is a cut-off individual from the raft of sin that we could find ourselves in with our hard heads that we sometimes follow? That old man's there, he ain't never going to go away. So here he says, but here's that pillar of cloud. again mentioned. And it says, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud of darkness to them, but it gave light by night unto these, so that the one could not come near the other all night. So as the nation of Israel makes plans, gets everything ready to cross, Pharaoh and his crowd in the dark and can't do anything. Aren't you glad that God stands in for us, watches over us and protects us when we can't protect ourselves? It says, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night. All that what? All that night. Now, you know, sometimes, and it's hard for us to, and I don't know, it is for me, it might not be for you, but it's a hard thing for me to visualize all this. Because if we read on through this trip of the nation of Israel, you're going to find in here that it says that there were 600,000 men. And then it says, with the children and with the wife. Now, it takes a pretty good gout for that many people to cross over. Of course, I know the Lord, because it said, blap right now, and it could have been done. But it says that night when Pharaoh and his crowd couldn't see what's going on because they're in darkness, here's the Lord at work with the mighty wind, and all of a sudden the Red Sea just begins to part. And it's making a way that they might cross over. It says, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went in the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them in the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses and his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked. The Lord did what? The Lord looked upon the host of the Egyptians through what? Pillar of fire of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they dragged them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And I looked at that. Let me read this verse to you again. I want you to listen to it real careful. The conversation is, he said, they took off the chariot wheels, they dragged them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us do what? Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And I says, you And the Lord looked at me. Excuse me. And the world and the date and Satan and his demons look at me and say, boy, the Lord's fighting for him. We're kind of on a windless journey on this one. We better just leave him alone right now. Because the Lord fights for him. How many times do you reckon the Lord's fought for us? How many times do you reckon the Lord fought for you when you didn't even know it was? We probably done like the nation of Israel has done a few times. We probably grumbling because something happened and we didn't get off on time just like we thought we were going to. Well, for some reason, we were hindered a little bit. But it was good we were hindered a little bit, because if we hadn't have been hindered, something could have been terrible down the road for us. We don't know that he did that. And we're back here grumbling and complaining. Just like the nation of Israel here grumbling and complaining. Sometimes we need to just stand still and watch the Lord accomplish that he'd have accomplished in our life. The thing we need to do is just be committed to it. He said, we better leave him alone, because the Lord fights for him. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horses. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength. When the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots, and the horsemen, and all the host of Pharaoh, that came into the sea after them, there remaineth not so much as what? As one of them. Not so much as one of them. Verse number 29 starts with a but. But what? But the children of Israel walked upon dry ground in the midst of the sea, and the waters were walled to them on the right hand and on the left hand. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. Proof to them that God done what he said he'd do. And Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people did what? Feared the Lord, and the people did what? And believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Not only did they fear the Lord, not only did they believe the Lord, they also believed in the man of God, whom God sent to give them the delivery message, so to speak. But you see, God used Moses to prepare the way, but they had to respond. They had to respond. You say, well, that won't be hard to do because they're looking at Pharaoh and his army coming. That's exactly right. And if you ever get a picture of Satan on your trail, and the plan of salvation in Christ in front of you that is your way of escape, you'll look at it different too. I believe you'll respond. If the world could ever get the view of Satan on their heels and Christ is their salvation, I believe they'd do some fearing and believing too. Man of God delivering the message over it's Sunday. I wonder how many times the gospel message today will be delivered to somebody. I wonder how many times today the Holy Spirit will work on somebody's heart and they'll harden that heart and won't move today. Only thing I can say is I hope God gives them one more opportunity. But here we see where he has delivered the nation of Israel through the Red Sea on dry ground. Now, I want to show you something. How long will it be before the nation of Israel has already forgotten all this and they're going to grumbling again? How long do you think it'd take? If you and I, you know, I looked at this when I read it and I said, there ain't no way. But then I thought about the advantage that you and I have and the blessing that you and I have, because when you were saved and I was saved, God planted the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And we've got a God conscience in our heart that reminds us of where we were and where we are today, what he's brought us from and where he's brought us to. And the nation of Israel was going by sight. But now look at this. Let me ask you a question. How long do you think it'll be before the nation of Israel now is grumbling again to Moses? How many? Look in the next chapter with me. Look at chapter number 15 and look at verse number 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out to the wilderness, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. 3 days. Now I believe that if I had just seen the Lord part the water in the Red Sea wide enough so that all the nation of Israel could walk through it, that I believe he could find somewhere for us to get a little bit of water to drink, don't you? But 3 days, and when they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. And there he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear unto his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought you up upon, that I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now he's put an if here. He says, if what? My time's gone. If you'll hearken to the voice of God and will do what's right in his sight and give ear to his commandments, then you can escape a whole lot of problems that otherwise you're going to endure. Now, you can rest assured, and I can rest assured one thing. God has a chastening hand. And he will chasten his children. And here he says, now, if you will do this, these things will not come upon you. And they came to Elam, and in the 27th chapter, there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the what? By the waters. But my time's gone, but we needed to address something. What did Moses put in the water? He took a tree, didn't he? And it made it what? It took it from bitter to sweet. That was a tree, very bitter to Christ, but very sweet for you and me. That tree that he cast in the water had to do what before he could cast it in the water? It had to be cut. It had to be severed so it would die. The time's over. God bless you. Thank you for being with us today.